Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. Happy Friday, TGIF, whatever you want to call it. I'm just excited to be here, and I am excited to have you here with me. We have some very special guests for you today, but just knowing some of the guests on the show, I think you should go ahead and grab your notepad, your notebook, your recorder, whatever it is that you use to take notes, because we will be learning some tips, some tricks, some information that will help you in your life and in your business today. Also, I'm going to invite you to do what I always invite you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. So whoever you know that needs to hear this message, to hear this show, to learn a little bit, I want you to go wake them up, text them, tweet them, inbox them, whatever you have to do to make sure they get this information as well, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're doing your job, I'm going to go ahead and do my job and introduce my first guest. He is a dear friend of mine. He is someone that I will say live outmarkets me. And not many people can outmarket me. So if you don't have your notepad, grab that napkin, grab that pen, whatever it is that you have to do, but you want to learn from him, Mr. Faheem Smith, who is the king of marketing, especially when we start talking about funnels and Facebook Messenger. He knows his stuff. Good morning, Faheem. How are you?
Good morning, Sharif. How are you doing? Doing pretty well. It's kind of, I'm on the East Coast. So it's a little dreary. Rain yesterday. It's cloudy today. So, but I'm doing great.
Well, you have rain. We have fires. You know what I mean?
So it's nice. Well, that's, you guys have, you need some of the rain. I need to send some rain that way then. Yeah, that's for sure.
Please do. Please do. One of the things that I really like about you, you know, your marketing, but you are someone that is always trying to help people, provide tips and provide guidance. You're not one of those people who want to get to the top by yourself. You're one of those people who are like, okay, let me pull you up. Let me bring you up with me. Now, how did you become an entrepreneur? How did you have that entrepreneur spirit?
It started back in the 90s, actually. I started, I was an artist. Basically, I was a rapper back then. This was like, it was like in the mid 90s and stuff like that. But after I got out of military, I just didn't feel the same. So what I wanted to do, I knew I wanted to be. Like, one, I wanted my own business, but I wanted to kind of pivot. I wanted to still be a part of the music business, just not as an artist. So I linked up with this, a few people that kind of started like interning for and stuff like that. And, when the last guy that I linked up with, I learned the most from. But I seen that he was trying to hold me back though. He was like, he kept on saying, yeah, I'm gonna leave my business and I'm gonna go do this and I'm gonna go do that. And, you know, at that point, I was already running his team. And, you know, I knew I started to meet all the right people. And then I said, well, forget it. This was back in 95. And I started and I said, well, and about a year later, I said, well, I'm going to start my own company. And that was the first, you know, my first company was called Offspring Entertainment. And then that was my first push into, you know, being an entrepreneur. And then from there, I say about from 86 to about 89, I was just grinding. I built my company up to be one of the top marketing promotions company for music in the DC area. So I was up there with, like, it was like a handful of other companies. So basically it was like, if I didn't have a particular account, like with these labels, like, you know, back then it was Death Row or MCA Jive, a lot of these labels that are not around no more, they got dissolved into Universal or Sony or something like that. And then from there, you know, I basically made a name for myself. And then I said, well, after 2004, I was like, the music industry, I'm kind of burnt out. So I pivoted again into working with corporations like Adidas, Nike, Pepsi and stuff like that, doing events, more offline stuff. And then eventually 2014, I said, well, I see this online thing is definitely, I see where it's going. I need to jump on this, even though I should have jumped on it before, but I said, I need to jump on this stuff now. And I invested in my first digital marketing course. And then from there, everything else was just like it was, I guess, history from that point on. Like, I loved it, and it's just like I couldn't get enough information. So I started learning about Facebook ads and YouTube ads and all these different types of ways to advertise your business online to get you the maximum reach and the type of outcome you want for your business. So, and that's what I do now. So it's like, it's constantly just being up to date with the latest trends and tools and softwares and stuff like that. So my goal is to basically help businesses, you know, get the outcomes they want using online marketing, advertising, yes, and stuff like that.
Yes. So if they go to your website at FahimSmith.com, what are some of the things that are there?
Well, right now it's pretty much because I'm working on the name of my marketing company, Strike First Marketing. I've been kind of back and forth on having a website, because the thing is with a website, it's like going into Walmart, right? It's like if you go in there, it's just like Walmart got a ton of different products there. And if you're trying to get a person focused on one thing, it's kind of hard to do that when they like, you might say, I'm going in there to get some, whatever, get some food or get some, you know, some other products or whatever. And you go, oh, it's a sale over here. Look, you know, it's like a lot of different things. So you get sidetracked. So FahimSmith.com is more of a funnel. So when you go there, I'm giving away a lead magnet, which is basically an ebook on how to learn how to use chat bots and stuff like that to help your business, because they do. So I'm thinking about doing my Strike First Marketing just like that, because it's a lot more effective. Now, websites are great from a SEO standpoint, because if somebody type in your name or something, it'll pop up. But as far as in aspects of business, funnels are way better, because it keeps them focused on that core thing, getting the product, signing up, maybe booking an appointment with you or something like that. And that's what you want. You don't want a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, once you get there, get the lead, then you can redirect them to where you want them to go, right? But initially, you always want to keep your audience focused on that one thing, which is giving them something to get something. And that's really what it boiled down to. With a website, you have that factor, but you have a lot of other things that have about us and testimonials and all this other stuff. And it's fine, but at the end of the day, from a lead generation standpoint, you always want to, you know, keep them focused on giving them something to get something, and then going from there. So
a lot of great information. A lot of great information. We'll have to take it out, check it out, check out the funnel. Definitely want to learn about that. And I want to get back to you, Fahim. I want to introduce my next guest, Renee Bird. And she is in London, and she has a corporate background, but she is in music. She's a UK-based R&B pop songstress who actually got the attention of Mr. Quincy Jones. She's going to share her story with us today, and maybe we can find out other ways to help her as an entrepreneur and entertainer. Good morning, Renee. How are you?
Good morning, Sharif, and good morning to all the guests. Thank you so much for having me this morning and this afternoon in the UK.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining us. Now, you have a corporate background, and all of a sudden you went into a different direction. Can you tell us a little bit about your story?
Yeah. So basically, I come from a very musical background. Cliche as it is, my family entrenched in the gospel industry. Bishop John Francis in the UK, friends of T.D. Jakes, that kind of conundrum. So music has always been around me, but I've never actually performed or sung in the choir. People always thought I was a choir girl, but I've had music around me. My father was in the industry, also signed to one of the majors. So as a child, I was always at festivals, watching the likes of Tracy Chapman, Sting and Sade perform side stage. So music was there. But I realized very quickly, music is one part of it. Songwriting is another part of it. But the business is where you need to really know your stuff. So I studied law and compliance, sat in boardrooms, and that funded my music career, because what people don't realize, it costs money to be an artist. Unless you're a major local label, you're independent, you have to fund it. So that's the transition. It was helping spirit along. And a lot of the things that you do in the corporate world, the proficiency, the order that you have to have, the business of music is exactly that, understanding contracts, knowing exactly what you're signing and what deals you're doing, and how you're making your money. Turning up on time, which was a bit odd at times because as an artist, you've got to be a bit late for red carpets and things like that. So I had to kind of pull back on that. But I realized, as I said very quickly, the business is more important than actually even the creative, because you can have all the creativity, create great songs, but not make any money. And then you have to understand the change in landscape of music. And as Raheem was talking, it's changed so much. Social media is now the place for us to sell ourselves and to be seen. It's the followers, it's the likes, it's the comments, and how people interact with you. And they get to see more of you as an artist than before. So it's been a really exciting journey. I literally recently this year in February, I released a single, which is Born Again. And I got contacted by a label, which is associate of Quincy Jones, wanting to do some stuff together. That came out where I literally saw an email one night when I was at dinner. And they were like, Quincy Jones, how? So you can imagine I was completely blown away by that. And we'll see where that develops. And I released a single in February, March, COVID hit. So in the middle of my massive campaign and a video, everything was ready to go, TV campaign. So it really helped, it really paused the campaign somewhat, not to say I didn't get the traction, but people were really excited about the product, the video was getting plays, things were happening. But when you're in the industry or when you're an artist, you have to always be thinking about how you can remodel yourself. And at that time, it was very delicate. And I didn't want to feel like it was about myself. Some artists have been accused of the selfie culture. And I wanted to have a platform that can help others. So the team decided to do a talk show on IG Live, which became very, very successful. I had 800,000 views and impressions and global audiences. And I then pulled in on people I know and people in the industry. I had Chris Collins, who was one of the top supermodels for Lauren, Ralph Lauren, he came on my show. There was a gentleman that went, his name Paul Hutchinson. We had in a Black Lives Matter campaign, he saved a Caucasian man and he got like catapulted all over the press. I ended up interviewing him. So I literally changed the model, but I still kept it in entertainment. And I just wanted to show people that you can do so much more than just be the performer. You've got to use your platform for purpose.
I think that's everything you said was very powerful. I want to go back to one of the things that you said that I don't want to gloss over, that you said you went to law school.
Yes, I had got a law degree, a combined compliance sociology law degree. Yes, I studied immensely.
Yes, that's very important because like you said, many people don't understand the business. And a lot of people who went bankrupt in entertainment, it was because they didn't read their contracts, they didn't understand their contracts, and they relied on somebody else to give that information to them. So I applaud you, even without the music and the music industry, for going to law school and becoming knowledgeable. So after you finished school, did you go immediately to the music? Did you take a look and say, okay, well, I have that degree, it's time to go. Did you take some time off? Did you work on the music? What was the next step for you?
I actually have always been in it, but I was studying alongside my music. So my family didn't want me to be in the music 100% at such a young age. I was doing performing, my first session in the studio was at 13, and they didn't want me to do it at that point. They wanted me to have a foundation. So alongside the music, I was studying, I was working, funneling the music, my products into my industry and learning about how the business works. You know, my dad used to get me to look at a contract and have a dictionary next to me and tell me what it says. What does it mean? From very young. So I can understand independent of him what was going on and what is the deal. There is a thing that can stunt your creativity when you are thinking business, because as you're creating, there'll be times you go, okay, stop. What are we going to agree? And that can stunt. And sometimes it puts people off because they're like, okay, where did this come from? We're creating. But it stops a lot of trouble along down the line if we haven't arranged or discussed what our business is. And as you can imagine, as you spoke about, many things have happened for artists globally in America that have lost everything because they just didn't have their business in check. Mm-hmm. So I did it alongside, I was always asking questions. I had some amazing people around me who had been in the industry. So mm-hmm. I asked questions. Even now, my father is very instrumental in my career. And mm-hmm. anything I'm not sure about, I ask him. And he would go, right, this is the way to direct it and what you need to do. So I'm very grateful and lucky to have people around me that understand it. But you mm-hmm. also, as an artist, need to know it too, because you won't move forward if you don't.
I'm glad that you're grateful to have the people around you. But oftentimes when we want to go in a certain direction, like we're talking about being 13 and people are like, no, you're not going into music. You're a young, attractive woman. We're not going to put you out there with the wolves. But during that time frame, was there a part of you that said, you know what, I just want to do this. I don't care who's trying to protect me, who's trying to stop me. I want to focus on the music.
There was a lot of tension, I'm not going to lie. I think, as you said, it is something that's part of you. But there's something I will add about being a young artist to being someone that's grown. You go through different experiences. And I can always tell, I look at artists that literally haven't had the pain, the journey. Your songwriting evolves, it becomes better. So now looking back, yes, I thought I knew everything. But when you start to really sing is when your journey and your experiences have come to light. What I write now, what I sing about now is very different to what I would at 13. And I think the authenticity of connecting with your audience, you can do that more as a woman or as a younger woman, as opposed to a child. And you can be more aware through experiences what's going on, because there is a predatory kind of aspect in music industry, unfortunately. It is male dominated. I've had instances where my sexuality has been compromised, not in a terrible way, but that has been the focus. And I wouldn't see that as a youngster, but as an adult, I can kind of read the room. I can see that I need to protect myself. So I think the timing was right. I think you need to be much more grown in this industry.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm glad that you were able to see that. Now, Renee, I am going to come back to you. We're going to continue the conversation. I have some questions I definitely want to ask, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Megan Copeland, and she is known as the mental health mogul. And she's an author, she's a blogger, podcaster. And so she's going to tell us a little bit about her story and join the conversation. Good morning, Megan. How are you?
I'm good, and you. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. I'm excited to have you here. Now, listening to Fahim speak, Renee speak, they both have music industry background as well as business background. What have been some of your thoughts so far listening to the conversation?
Very interesting, especially Fahim. So I am not a marketer at all. I have no marketing experience. And so I may need your help. And Renee, I'm just very impressed with you. You're awesome. I mean,
God bless you.
black
Thank
girl
you.
magic all the way. I love it.
Thank you,
Yes,
girl.
thank
Green.
you.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, how did you get the name the mental health mode?
So I'll tell you a little bit about my story. So by trade, I am an HR consultant. So I started working in HR probably about 12 years ago. And then, and I still work in HR, of course. I still have a corporate job. But how I got the name Mental Health Mogul, it came from one of my friends, actually. So I am a person that suffers from mental health daily. I was diagnosed with mental health at the age of 12. Started out suffering from mental health experiences, mental health at the age of 8. Unfortunately, I was, and I'm candid and I'm going to just tell my story about mental health, but I was raped at the age of 8 by my mom's boyfriend. And
Wow.
so
I'm
started,
sorry to hear
yes,
that.
started, yeah, it's fine. You get over it. So started suffering from mental health at the age of 8, PTSD, bipolar, anxiety, depression, and then saw a psychiatrist. My auntie took me to a psychiatrist and was diagnosed by, a psychiatrist at the age of 12. And so didn't really get into the mental health space until just recently, probably about a year and a half ago. I knew it was needed. I was always, focused on my HR thing. And so when I moved to Houston, so I moved to Houston in 2013 and I moved for a job, but unfortunately that job fell through. I lived in my car for about a couple of months, started working in the HR space a little bit after that. And then in 2017, I suffered another tragedy. And was like, okay, God, what's going on? Like, do you hate me? Because I keep going through this, I keep going through this. And so basically, joined the church and I was prophesied over, and they told me, hey, and it was several people, oh, you're going to be an author, you're going to be a speaker. And I'm looking at them like, no, I'm not. I work in HR. I don't know what's going on. And I was still struggling with my mental health, suffering from my mental health, having anxiety attacks, not being able to establish friendships with people because they didn't understand mental health. And so in 2018, I got an opportunity to tell my story in front of 400 people and, just share my story about my struggles. And then how I overcame the obstacles, because when you look at me, you would never know I've been through the things that I've been through. And so Mental Health Mogul came through a conversation with one of my girlfriends. And so she was like, you're the mogul. You can talk about everything. You know mental health. You know this space. And so I was like, bingo, that's the name of my podcast. And so that's how I came with the name of Mental Health Mogul. But my company, my mental health company is brand is Mental Rich. So basically I focus and I help women who have been through abuse, abandonment, and a rejection, who deal with mental health through that space. And so, you know, I provide coaching and I speak about mental health in a mental health space all over. And I've been an author of two books, well, co-author of two books. And I have another book coming out in October. And then I'm also going to be a self-published author. And I'm working on that book now. So that should be here in January of 2021. So yeah, so that's how I got the name from one of my girlfriends. And I was like, okay, that sticks, it works. So I'm going with it, and that's it.
Well, let me tell you, I am sending you a virtual hug all the way from Long Beach, California. You go, girl, keep your head up. Don't let anyone turn you around, because one of the reasons I love doing this show is because I can share stories. And so when someone comes to me and they say, Sharifa, I can't do it because I'm bipolar, I have a chemical dependence or whatever it is, I can say to them, let me show you someone who has done it, because I don't believe in excuses at all in any form or fashion. Whatever you've gone through, there's someone who has gone through that experience and worse, and they still have been able to do it. So now, what are some of the things that you focus on your podcast?
So my podcast is 100% honest and 100% real. So I focus on my daily journey, my struggles, you know, suffering and dealing with mental health. So I talk about, you know, rape and homelessness and, you know, daddy issues and mama issues, because, you know, I didn't grow up with a dad. I didn't grow up with my mom. They walked out of my life when I was 8 or 9 years old to never be seen until I was in my 20s. And then I met my dad for the first time in 2017. He died a year later. Yeah. So I was grateful for that. He died last year. So I was really grateful about that. And so, you know, I talk about real life stuff. I talk about my struggle dealing with mental health and going to not one, but two mental health facilities. So I talk about my dealings with, you know, almost committing suicide by taking 70 pills. You know, these are real life experiences on my podcast. So I talk about everything, of being in an abusive relationship to just not loving myself and having to find myself. So these are some of the topics that I talk about on the podcast.
One of the things that I really enjoy, and I joke about it sometimes on the show, but I really enjoy, is I'll say, this is my therapy. Like, I'll be in those moods one day and I'm like, look, I need to talk about this. I remember one show when I was considering online dating the night before, my friends were telling me, go do it. And other people like, don't do it. And then I was like, okay, let's discuss this on the show. On your podcast, do you feel that that's therapy for you?
Yes, it is. Because I'm discovering things as I lay in a bed or just, you know, sit on my sofa. I'm discovering things about myself that I forgot that happened years ago. So it's kind of therapy for me, just revisiting those things that I've been through. And then knowing that I'm helping someone overcome an obstacle. I'm helping them, you know, heal. You know, when people look at me, they, you know, they never would have known that I suffer from these things. You know, I remember my auntie telling me, you're never going to be anything but a clerk at JCPenney for the rest of your life. And so I take that, and it's my motivation to help myself and others. And by listening to other stories as well, it's helping me heal. It's helping me become a better person, a better Megan, a better business owner. And so, yeah, it's therapy for me.
So let me just ask you this, because what I heard is this, the aunt told you these horrible things instead of building you up. The father wasn't there. The mother wasn't there. The mother was around during certain things that were allowed to happen to you. Do you have a support group now?
Yeah, I do have a support group. I have wonderful friends, my cousins. You know, I have some family that's, you know, unfortunately my family's not that close, but my cousin is very supportive. My friends are very supportive. So I do have a support group, and I have to be my own cheerleader as well. I'm my own support system. I read my Bible. I spend time with God. And then as you can see, I don't know if you can see in the back, but I'm real big on positivity. And so I have positive affirmations. So when I'm down and out, I come in this room. This is like my prayer room. And I come in this room and I tell myself I am enough. And I read my affirmations on the wall. And I have some like, I am well able. I am strong. I am gifted. So that keeps me motivated.
I think that's beautiful. Now, Renee, you're listening to Megan. She's sharing her story. I saw quite a few similarities. What are your thoughts to what Megan had to say?
I am literally, like, as I say, Black Girl Magic, you are amazing. You have literally, I'm here, I'm overwhelmed by your story. And I think in this season, everyone's thought, oh my goodness, how bad things are. But you are a shining light. Wow.
Thank you.
Yes.
And you're just, you know, what you've had to go through, but you're standing strong and you're pushing through. And I think I heard you say, Cherie, people make excuses and they look at things and, oh, poor me and woe is me. You are literally, and there's so much more in you to give. Yeah. And when someone prophesied over you, there's so much more in you. They saw it and I see it. Just listening to you, I'm just completely overwhelmed. And I'm excited for what the future holds for you. You are going to touch some souls. You have got such a big heart and you're beautiful.
Thank you.
I definitely agree. Now, Fahim, we're listening to Megan. She has someone, she is someone who has a story. She's had experiences. She's an author, podcast host. And she started off by saying, I don't have any experience with marketing. And one of the things that I found with individuals, authors who have a great story, or the same difficulties that I find with nonprofits, they just want to serve. They just want to help. They, you know, but they don't necessarily have the marketing experience. So when you listen to Megan, Fahim, what are some of the things that stand out to you?
Well, basically she's already created her, you know, her platform, or to, you know, to help people, you know, with mental health problems and stuff like that. That's always a good thing. It's, you know, now when it comes to like taking it online, you know, you can create, I don't know if you already have a Facebook group. You can create a Facebook group where you basically.
Fahim, I didn't mean to cut you off, but did you see Megan's response?
No, I don't have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, she said, no, she doesn't have one. So this is what I'm saying, Fahim. You are a marketing genius. I have seen you work magic. I have seen the chat box that you have created and the detail and time it takes to create these chat box. And at that point, I didn't even know what a chat bot was. So Megan is saying, I never thought of creating a Facebook group. You know, she has the passion, but these other things that may seem so simple to you, that's what the world wants to hear. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I want you to understand that people want to learn from you.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. I didn't hear what she said. She didn't have a group. Definitely. But I mean, I applaud you for, you know, basically, you know, after going through your tragic past, you know, and doing what you're doing. I'm suffering from mental health as well, but just from a more of a war standpoint, because I was a vet. I was in the Persian Gulf War, so I go through that. But at the end of the day, you still have to push forward, no excuses and stuff like that. So definitely applaud you. But going back to the marketing aspect of it, obviously podcasting, like you said, you know, podcasting is always good because you can build your authority up, you can invite people on and stuff like that. And then that way it basically puts you up there with the people that you're interviewing and stuff like that. Pretty much what Sharifa's doing. But as far as going back from online standpoint, Facebook groups are really great. You can have public ones, but private ones are a lot better because it's more exclusive. You can kind of screen out people and stuff like that. You can ask questions. Build your list up. I don't know if you have an email list or not. Email list is always
please.
Oh, okay. I'm good. Okay. All right. We're on the Facebook group. Either. Huh?
I don't have that either.
Okay. Well, no. Well, basically, yeah. So basically, well, I mean, it's certain things that you want. They say the money is in the list, right? So I don't know if you have products that you sell. Do you have products that you sell?
Yes, I'm working on it. I'm working on a line right now, a t-shirt line and some other things that I'm working on. So that should be in production with by the beginning of the year.
Okay, so do you have, didn't she say you are author too? Do you have like a book or something?
Yeah, I have books, yes. I have books.
Okay, so you can say, okay. So basically, it's basically creating a infrastructure so you'll be able to, you know, get the right type of audience and people who need, mental help, and as well as people that you can sell your products to that's going to be able to help them. Basically, you know, your products are the solution to their problems, right? Because that's really what it boiled down to. If you can position what you have to be the solution to their problems, then you're gonna be able to, you know, sell your products with ease. But it always starts with basically getting the right type of audience together. So Facebook groups are definitely a great way to do it. And it takes time, but at the same time, you know, if you don't have a lot of money to spend, that's a good way to do it. Also too, your Facebook profile. Now, Facebook doesn't really like this, but you can turn your Facebook profile into like a mirror of a business Facebook business page. But the thing is, with a Facebook business page, you're not getting that much. Really, you ain't getting no type of engagement unless you probably into the thousands of likes and follows. You're not gonna get that much engagement because Facebook wants you to boost the post. They want to boost your post. That's all. Because that thing is like, you know, you boost your post, then you can reach. If you have 5,000 likes and follows, you boost that, you're gonna reach all 5,000 of those people, especially if it's a great post. But with your profile, it's different. You know what I'm saying? Your profile is what you can do. You can just basically go to certain groups, groups that have about mental health and stuff like that. And you can basically maybe post certain things and then say, like, if you get a post and you get, I don't know, you know, 20, 30 likes, engagements, some comments, you can go in and basically friend request all those people, you know what I'm saying? And get them to be your friend. And then you have your profile set up in a way where you have a banner, you have your picture, you have your feature picture, which looks like your banner. And then when they click on it, it can go to join your group or your website, or I was like, I would say your funnel, where maybe you giving away a free ebook or something like that about, eight ways, to basically know if you have mental health issues or something. I don't know, something like that, right? Something to basically to let people know that you're trying to help them. That way you can build your email list up and stuff like that. And because that's what you want to be doing. You always want to be building up your assets, your digital assets, so that way when it's time to be able to sell something that, you know, is going to fit someone's problem, you already have them. Awesome. That way you're not basically just randomly posting stuff out and trying to, that's what a lot of business owners, when it comes to social media and stuff like that, they just be posting, but they're not really getting any traction, because the goal is to basically build a list up of people that, you know what I'm saying, know, like, and trust you, and then you're selling, and it could be for music. It doesn't matter what niche it is. But if you do that, you're going to be good to go. So that's really what it boiled down to. So I know I kind of said a lot of stuff. And we can definitely talk more after if you want to. But for the most part, you having a podcast is definitely a good start, a great start, actually. You know what I'm saying? Awesome. And you can leverage that as well to basically help build your list up and stuff like that. You just have to have the right thing set up, so that way you can send people somewhere and say, after the podcast, you can say, to get my free this, go here, right? And then that way you send them there and start building and getting those names, email addresses, and phone numbers. So that way, you know, when it's time, you can just send them updates on certain things to basically let them, keep them updated about, you know, your upcoming shows. If you're going to do any other, especially when this COVID is over, maybe you might do something where you start going places live and doing your shows live in other places and stuff like that. You have a web, you can keep your audience up to date, up to the minute, because now you have them versus them just being, online and maybe you just hoping that someone sees your post or something like that.
Awesome. So. Thank you. Yeah. Information.
Yeah, I know there's a lot, but yeah, we could talk more, but ultimately just have that infrastructure in place, you know, where you can basically build your list. That's really the main thing. And usually a funnel will help you do that. Chatbot funnels are great because you can ask questions, certain questions you want to know about your audience and stuff like that. And I do that with a lot of the businesses I work with, and it really helps qualify the lead. So that way they know if this person is a good fit for their business or not.
I love it. Thank you.
There's a lot of information, not too much information. That was the information I was trying to pull out of you. Like, come on, meat. Okay. Give us some meat. Give us some potatoes, because I know you know this. And that's one of the things that I run into is like things. I built my first website in 1994, you know, so things that Facebook groups or whatever it is seem so, you know, like, isn't everyone doing? That's why I wrote my book, Signs You Might Be an Entrepreneur, How to Discover the Entrepreneur in You, because I saw that people were asking basically the same questions. And in my mind, I'm like, it's 2019. Everybody knows that. Everyone knows that, but people right. don't. And so they need the information, they need the help, and they need the guidance. So thank you for that, Fahim. If you want to talk after the show, I think that will be great. Was that helpful for you, Megan?
Yes, it was very. Thank you.
Yes. No, because yeah. nonprofits, people with big hearts, we always just try to save the world. And unlike Renee, they forget about the business aspect at times, or just aren't aware of other ways that we can promote ourselves. So Renee, you are big on social media. That's one of the tools that you utilize as well. How, you know, sometimes people come to me and they're like, Sharifa, I have no idea how to do social media at all. I go to their page and they have 5 followers. And, you know, two of those 5 followers were mom and dad. You know what I mean? So they haven't really reached anyone. And then when I look at what they're posting, either it's not on brand, which means their brand is marketing and they're taking pictures of the sunshine. You know, it's like, that don't go together. Yeah. But what are some of the strategies that work for you?
Yeah, you've got to, as you said, be on brand. You have to know exactly who your audience is and what you're trying to sell them. You've got to trial and test things. This is what people don't realize. It's not something you do immediately and then you'll see a change. You actually need to go, what resonates with my audience? A lot of the time you have to do a thing called call to action. And basically you ask them a question about what you've told them. So it could be a video you posted or it could be a picture. And a lot of the time people need to feel good about themselves, especially at this time. You need to let them know you actually care about them. So if you're selling them a product, you care about what that product does for them. Or if you're selling them a service, you care about what service is going to do for them. So with me, I will talk about what hopefully my music will make you feel and how are you as a person. It's one of the most important things for me. I think it's very easy for us as people in the creative industry to be quite insular and it's about us. But actually our audience is what makes us special. So I test and trial things. I do loads of giveaways as well. So if I work with a brand or collaborate, I will make sure my audience gets to engage and have some fun with what I can offer them. But a call to action is a really important tool in the posting Instagram world or even the Twitter world or Facebook, because you ask them a question, then they then tend to answer the question. And if it really resonates with them, they will then share what you've said. And that's how you can actually get traction. So a lot of things you have to trial and error, but you have to be on brand. And you can't, as you said, post about your food and you're in the music industry or you're selling a skincare product, and be consistent about posting. A lot of the time people might say, oh, I'll do it every other day or every 3 days, but you have to see when your audience is actually most active. In the back end of your social media, you can see analytics. Sometimes it can be a bit off-putting, but you'll see there's certain times in the day that your audience is more active and you will post on that time. So it's a lot of work that you have to do, but once you get into the rhythm, it actually will come natural. And you, one of the things I do as well, which hopefully helps the audience, is I have a planner of all the things I'm going to do for the week, because it's so busy when you have a life, you have family and other things going on to know. So I have a pre-plan of what I'm going to do and what I'm going to talk about. And I will do that and make sure it's followed through. There's various platforms as well that you can use that actually automate your posting. and you can set that up for the whole week. And you can then press the button and it all happens. And you keep an eye on it and make sure people are interacting. I also ensure that I respond to my comments. So if someone says something, I thank them. People need to feel that they matter. They really need to feel that they matter. And when you look at even other people who are very successful on social media, is they engage constantly and they're honest. What's your backstory? As an artist, I'll tell them the truth, what happened. And if I'm having a bad day, if I'm having a breakup, I'll tell them, because they need to understand that it's real and I'm a real person, but I just happen to have a gift I'm sharing. And just checking in, seeing how people are. It's really important, because something you say to them at that moment in time can help shine a light on their day and you don't even realize it.
I think that's beautiful. And again, Renee, you hit us with some gold. And just like Fahim, it's like some of these things may just be so easy for you. I remember I had a conversation just yesterday with someone who they bake cakes, and they were telling me about their strategy and their plan. They said what they're going to start doing is just start baking. And then they were going to take photos of the items that they bake, and they were going to put them out on Instagram, and they were going to do that until somebody contacted them. And I said, okay, well, you need a call to action, because people scroll through, they look through, and they may have seen your cake, but how do they even know that you baked that cake? How do they know that you're the one who, you know, made it? But then again, how do they know you're in business and that you sell cakes if you don't have a call to action? So everything has to have a call to action, because they may just think you like cakes and you thought these cakes were pretty, or you saw some cookies that you liked, but there's nothing to tell them to go and buy now or order now or get this or take whatever step you want to take. And I always see, especially in social media, so many people who forget that you have to tell people what it is that you want them to do, what action you want them to take. So that was an excellent point, the call to action. The other thing that I love that you said is I always say the same thing. No comment goes unanswered. Like the military, that's my phrase. No comment goes unanswered. And I'm one of those people, I don't automate anything at all. If you see me posting, if you see me doing anything, it's me in real time doing it. Now, I'm not for or against automation. What I am against is so many people do the set it and forget it, right? So they schedule all these posts and they're going out over the next week, over the next month, and they never come back to see what people have to say. They don't check their comments. They don't check and see, you know, what's going on. Somebody could have put a negative comment on there and it's just sitting there on your page. And I remember having a conversation with someone before about what to do about negative comments. And I'm like, I delete them. And they're like, you delete them? I said, yes. I said, if somebody went to your house and they wrote fuck you all over your walls, would you leave it?
Yes.
Fahim, your thoughts? I mean, do you disagree?
No, well, it's crazy because, you know, running ads and stuff like that. Like, I do a lot of stuff in the helping credit repair consultants and stuff like that. And, you know, just on doing stuff online, business online in general, people are always kind of, you know, weary, like, is that a scam or something like that? So you may get that, you know, you'll get that in the, they see an ad, they might say that in the comments, like, is this a scam? Or, you know, maybe somebody has been burnt by a company, and or maybe them or one of their family members, and they'd be like, oh, this is a scam, you know what I'm saying? Don't do this or whatever. So, you know, you can do it two different ways. You can delete it, like you said, or you can respond to it. You know what I'm saying? You can respond to, like, hey, well, you know, I'm sorry that you had this experience with, that type of company, but this is, you know, we're about helping people, you know, get their lives back on track by doing this, that, and the third. And if you want to, you know, if you want to talk, you can reach us here. And now if they come back and start going back and forth, because I'm not, you know, doing back and forth, then you would just delete and block them. But if they, you know, typically if you, you know, have a well thought out comment, they'll be like, oh, okay, you know, and maybe they'll go through the funnel or something like that, right? But if they just trolling, then you'll know, well, I don't care, you know, whatever, then you just, all right, I'm not going to do this. Go ahead and block them and delete the comment, because at the end of the day, this person doesn't want to have a real dialogue, right? They just want to be trolling or whatever like that. So you can handle it like different ways. You can, you know, delete it if you don't want to deal with it at all, or you can address it and then see where it goes from there. That's pretty much how I deal with it.
I agree. And I think it kind of depends on the context of the conversation, like you mentioned. Now, I made a post. I have a Facebook group. It's called Community of Professionals Business Networking Group, which Fahima is a member of as well. But I made a post and I shared my flyer, my image for the roundtable talk show. And I do this every now and then when I'm accepting new guests. So I made this post. I'm accepting new guests, be a guest on the roundtable talk show. That was the extent of the post, or go to ashsharifa.com to be a guest. And someone was like, this is a scam. There has to be a fee. And I'm like, okay, wait. Like, and then what was so interesting is I didn't realize, because I have 5,000 friends, which I need to delete about 3,000 of them, that this person was in my Facebook group and they were a friend of mine. And I'm like, how do you even say this is a scam though, when you don't even know, you haven't asked, but you're in my group calling me a scam? I was like, delete. And he's lucky I didn't unfriend him, but I just deleted the comment and I went on with my day. But I don't like that so often when people try to see you doing something or growing or expanding, they want to be like, oh, that's a scam. It has to be. I think people toss that word around too lightly in my
That's true. Yeah, they definitely do. It's like, okay, how do you know it's a scam? Have you basically checked out any information? You just see something and you automatically, that's a scam. And my thing is, typically if you're online, you're doing online business, you're going to be selling something, but it's always about value first, right? You know what I'm saying? You give something to get something. That's what you do. I mean, if you do that, people not on the mind buying something, especially buying something from you, especially if it helps their problem. So it's all about that. It took me a while to figure that out. But a lot of people still haven't figured that out. So they're constantly pushing versus just giving, you know what I'm saying, to get. So that's all it is. But at the same time, online, you're going to have ignorant people regardless. It's not really nothing you can do about that. You're gonna have people who just trolling and just want to be negative, and they're gonna just post. You're like, why you even do that? That's why sometimes I engage with them just to kind of see where they at. And they still going back and forth. I'm like, I'm gonna just get rid of them. I remember it was this older guy. I was running an ad for an insurance agent, and it was like for final expenses, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, you have life insurance, then you have the actual final expense when you pass away. You know, you don't have to be doing GoFundMes and stuff like that to, you know, get the money up for your funeral, or your family don't have to do that. So, and this guy was like, well, you know, he was like, is this a scam? And da da da. I'm like, well, you know, I was going back and forth, but I seen that he wasn't really trying to have a dialogue. He was just this, I don't know, grumpy old man type of scenario. It was like, I was like, all right, you know, and I just deleted it. And it was a lady that did the same thing. And then she was like, oh, okay. And she was like, you know, she kind of understood. So it's like, okay, all right, we'll just make it sure. But it just, you know, some people don't care. They just want to argue. They want to, you know, they just want to be negative. And they see something maybe that triggered them. And that's what it was. I'm like, well, you know, if I'm seeing people struggling in this aspect, like, why is that a problem? Like, I mean, if you have your stuff together, that's fine. But why are you trying to basically knock it for people who don't have their stuff together, right? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. Like, why are you even doing it? It's like, what is the purpose? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to pass away and have your family deal with that and be going around trying to beg and borrow to get money up, that's on you. But the whole point is, you know, I know me personally, I wouldn't want to be doing that. I wouldn't want to put my family through that. So that's the whole point. So people don't look at it like that. They just think of it. I don't really care. So, you know, it's a scam or whatever it may be. So at the end of the day, well, if you address it and let them know that it's bigger than them, then if they're sensible people, they're going to be like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. If they're not, then it doesn't matter anyway. So
yes, you know, absolutely. Great advice. I want to go back over to Renee. We talked about, Megan talked about her faith, and Renee, you talked about yours as well. Let's talk about your song that you just released.
Yeah. Well, that was, a lot of people thought it was my song, but it's actually an adaptation of Syreeta and Billy Preston. I think it was 1976 they released that. And it was a song I used to hear as a child. And it was a ballad version that I actually attempted to do in the first instance. And I thought, you know what, I need to speed it up. I need to feminize it. And it was a beautiful experience in the studio. My brothers, just so you know, are part of my production company. So it's a family production company. So my brothers play as well as myself, and we need each other's backing vocals and stuff. So it's beautiful. It can have contention because there's family. And also when you're all these creative juices are in part, it can, you can imagine. But there's something very beautiful that I can lean on them, and they're actually got my interest because they're my family and they want what's best. So it's really exciting to be a part of that. And it's been beautiful what this song has been able to do for people, because of the song Born Again at the time of COVID is still there, but obviously it was helping people just feel that they had something to hold on to. So I've had some amazing feedback from like DJs all around the world, especially in the US, that have downloaded it, said, you know what, this makes me feel good. And how you've done it, your version, it's really beautiful. So yeah, really excited and grateful for the, you know, the opportunity.
Well, what is the song about? What are some of the lyrics?
Well, it's come bring me your softness. Comfort me from all this madness, COVID. Mm-hmm. Don't you know with you, I'm born again. So if you think about it, it's about new discoveries. It's about coming more born again. In this season right now, people have had to really stop and think about who they are. Mm-hmm. You had no choice but to, because we're locked down, and you ended up introvert. And I know, you know, I think of Megan and I think of everyone that's going through mental health. This is a time when you really will go in your head, but you will come through. And the born again element of this was that people actually feel that there's a new change, there's a new life. You know, the world reset itself more than it ever did. The animals were able to breathe. The climate started to kind of refix. And how powerful that song is and what it really represents, it's a chance to do something different, and it's to start anew. And I think a lot of us are really hard on ourselves, but every day we've got a new chance to be something different and be better. People are hard and think, oh, I didn't do this, but it's taken me to when I'm 64 or 80 to be someone. We've always got a chance to be better. And that's what I think the song's done for people.
Awesome. I think that's so beautiful. So one of the things that we talk about on the show is how many people have had difficulties with mental health, or difficulties with anxiety, or difficulty with fear, or coping during this global pandemic, because it threw so many people, if not everyone, out of their element. Like for me, I've been working from home for years, so I was used to that aspect. And sometimes I forget until I have to go into the store, or I want to go to my favorite restaurant and that restaurant is no longer open. Or I go to a large restaurant, large scale restaurant, and the things I used to order are no longer on the menu because they've cut down their hours and they've cut down their what they're offering on their menu. So the world has changed. So Megan, what are some of the things that people can do to cope with what's going on in the world?
I would say, you know, as a person that suffers from mental health, I manage my mental health every single day. So I would say one thing, the tips that I would offer is basically finding a support system. I think that is key to everything, and making sure that that support system is positive and understands what you're going through, because a lot of people don't understand mental health. They're ignorant to the fact. There's a lot of stigma around mental health. And then I would also say, for me, you know, with coping with COVID and, you know, just being inside and just, you know, I'm real big on like just making sure that I am, you know, positive within myself. I find meditating helps me, especially pre-COVID, back in April when all this stuff was going on. I thought I was going to lose my mind. I was like, oh my God, I can't go outside. I can't go to the store. But like meditating really helped me. And just, you know, keeping my faith, reading the Bible, and then therapy. So a lot of people are scared to talk to a counselor, and I don't understand why. Like, speak to somebody outside of your norm. They understand. It's like, you know, just talking to one of your best friends. And then just remain in positive. I mean, there's light at the end of the tunnel. I'm a positive person. I try to stay positive. And then if I find myself in a situation to where I'm, you know, straying and I'm, you know, becoming depressed or suffering from anxiety, I kind of like step away from that space and put myself in another situation. I may go in another room and say, well, maybe I needed to be in another room or atmosphere to like kind of get away from that situation. I may step outside, you know, to get a breather, or I may go for a car ride. So those are some of the things that I've been doing. But the number one thing is just basically having that support system. That is so important, especially with the things that we're going through now and what we're probably going to go through in the future. I mean, there's so much stuff happening in the world. And you know, the anxiety of people are getting worse. Depression is getting worse. And so we need people that we can talk to. We need advocates of mental health. And so, you know, I would just say, you know, step away from the norm and you know, just think positive and know that you are somebody, you are loved. If you don't see it, if you don't feel it, you don't think it, just know that you have to love yourself first before anything. And so, yeah, so those are some of my tips that I can offer.
I think that is wonderful. I meditate every day. I try to meditate sometimes twice a day, but at least in the morning, I have to ground myself to even be able to handle so many different personalities on the show. So that is key for me. I will notice when I haven't meditated because I'm like, I'm all over the place. So it grounds me and it helps me. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching live, as well as everyone who is watching this show in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Renee.
Hello, everyone that's been watching. Thank you so much, Sharifa, for giving me the opportunity to speak today. I want you to take from this show that you are somebody and you are worth it. And all you need to be is the best version of yourself. I think a lot of us in my industry, we have to offload our soul in music and it can be really tough. But I want you to really believe in the gift that you've been given. And no matter what anyone tells you, keep pushing. Believe, keep dreaming, keep writing songs. Keep sharing your gift because you never know who is going to connect with you. So I just want you to be encouraged. In this season, it's been really tough for people in the music industry because the lack of being able to do live stuff, but still make music, still create, keep singing, keep your instrument being warmed up, and keep loving because the gift you have as a musician has been healing for the souls of many, even more in this climate. So just keep encouraged and I send you a love.
Yes, we receive all of your love. Where can people pick up or listen to Born Again?
Yes, if they go to www.reneebird.com, on my website is there. And I am in Google, so Renee Bird does come up on iTunes, Spotify. And I also have an amazing show called Who Am I Talk? So anyone that wants to share their story with the world, please get in touch because I'm always looking for contributors.
Awesome. Well, I would love to share my story. I have definitely an interest. Yeah. Story after being laid off 8 times, divorced twice, homeless, everything.
Wow.
On my back, I use my story as an opportunity to say, I'm not better. I'm not more special. I'm just me. And so if I can do everything that I've done, then so can you. Megan, what do you have for us?
I'm going to piggyback off of Renee. You know, just be encouraged. You know, self-care and self-love is everything. And I'm still learning that to this day. Don't doubt yourself. I was at a point in my life to where I started to compare myself to other people. And, you know, I was one time questioning God and saying, okay, do you hate me? Why do you hate me? Why am I not where I need to be? Why are these people here and I'm not there? So you just have to be patient and understanding and know that you have to bet on yourself. And I'm looking at your picture right now in the back and it says, don't sweat the small stuff. Just don't sweat the small stuff. You know, and then surround yourself with positivity. The worst thing that I hate is to be around a negative person who always complains, especially dealing with mental health. I have to make sure that I take care of myself first before anything else. And then, you know, that's, like I said, by building my relationship with God as well. And then I want to add to, I have this jar also too. And when I feel down or, I doubt myself, I just put something positive in this jar and I'm still building it. But that's something that, you know, you could take away as well. But, you know, just remember just to love yourself and never give up, never doubt yourself.
Thank you. So in your jar, when you put something positive in the jar, like what happens? Do you read it at a later time or it just stays in the jar?
It stays in a jar. And then weekly I go back and I read it.
Okay. I like that. I think that's great. Wonderful idea. Might have to market it, package it, make it the positive jar to help lift spirit. Yeah. I always think of ways to get the message out there. Fahim, 9 o'clock, we're coming down to the end of the show. What do you have for us?
Basically, my takeaway to talk to all business owners, or let all business owners know that in this new normal that we're in, it's more important than ever that you have an online presence. And you basically embrace it, because that, a lot of people are online. And if you have the right systems and processes in place, you can thrive and basically, beat the situation that we're in right now. So just understand that you have to make sure you have, everything set up, your business page, your profile, funnels. And if you don't know how to do that, definitely reach out to some marketing person that can help you set this stuff up. Because if you don't, what's going to happen is you're going to keep struggling, trying to figure out what I need to do and why is this not working and stuff like that. So you have to have the proper things in place for the proper outcomes to happen. So ultimately, especially with entrepreneurs and stuff like that, if you're a big business, you're probably going to be okay, more than likely. But you're an entrepreneur, solopreneur, anything like that, you know, a lot of people are struggling trying to figure out, they're home, and maybe they got the kids and stuff like that, doing homeschool and stuff like that. So ultimately, just make sure that, you learn how to navigate this digital landscape, so that way you can, do better. Because this shift is, if it done anything else, it basically exposed a lot of people who didn't have their stuff together. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if you didn't have your stuff together, people you now know. But if you just you just rely on referrals or anything like that, a lot of business owners will be like, oh yeah, I get a lot of referrals. I'm quite sure you're not getting a lot of referrals right now. So you gotta know how to basically do advertising, anything like that, you know what I'm saying? So you can constantly bring your ideal client to you, or customer to you. So
I think that's great. That's great advice, but we don't just want to contact a marketing person. We want them to contact you.
Contact me, but I'm trying to
humble. Don't be humble. This is shameless self-promotion.
I can definitely help you out. I mean, at the end of the day, even if I just give you some advice, I'm happy to do that, because at the end of the day, I'll find out what I need to find out. So either you're ready to move forward in that direction or you're not. And if you're not, then I'll just give you some advice on what you can do right now to help you get to the next level.
So what's the best way to contact you?
They can contact me through my my website funnel, FahemSmith.com. That's FAHEEM Smith, SMITH.com. And then basically everything is there. They can book an appointment with me. They'll get a freebie. They can also book an appointment to talk with me and stuff like that.
I think that's excellent. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I have definitely enjoyed the conversation. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you are not important. I appreciate you. We appreciate you. You can still go ahead and share the show. But please don't just share the show. Please support our guests. Their website information, their bios are in the Facebook posts. Follow them on social media, connect with them, contact them. And when you first contact them, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. So if you're interested in more ways where I can help your business, or maybe you're interested in picking up your tickets for my Power by Purpose 2-day empowerment teleconference, which is October 9th and 10th, or maybe you're interested in being a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show. Whatever it is, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed weekend. Bye now.
All right. Thank you, Sharifa.